Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 11th, 2018. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is from John chapter 5. I want to particularly focus our minds and our hearts on how Jesus is ending this particular section with this double amen. He uses the double amen to get our attention to say this is really, really important. Everything I say is important, but this is so, I don't want you to forget this. Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He's not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. When you and I talk to people, my dear friends, we sometimes run into situations where they kind of don't really want to talk to you if they know that you go to church, because they know, well, yeah, you. And then you start to talk to them, and maybe you'll say, oh, yeah, we sang this new song. It was either hard or it was easy, or I liked it or I didn't like it in church, but we sang, and it was the second Sunday in the end times. And they say, end times? Oh, you know, when the Lord's, we remind ourselves the Lord's going to come back again. And they'll say, oh, yeah, and then they'll want to back away. Because what happens is when you talk about the end times and you talk about end of life, you talk about things that people want to not talk about. I didn't want to talk about the end of life all the time I was growing up. Not at all. High school, forget that. Forget the coffin was for funerals and that was it. And it was not going to affect my life. Until the Lord brings you face to face with death a couple times, then he says, oh, okay. Then you wake up and you say, maybe I should be thinking about this so I can so order my days to give you God glory. This part of God's word tells you something I've told you every Sunday I've been here, every special service I've been at, every wedding, every funeral, every time we gather for worship. I forgive you your sins. When I tell that to people in a group like this, they all nod their head, okay, okay. When I go into a smaller group, well, okay, and it's a little bit less. When I go one-on-one, sometimes people will say, yeah, but boy, you just don't know the sins I've done. And I tell them what I'm telling you, God knows. He knows way more than I know. And God sent Jesus to pay off the debt of our sin, and Jesus did that. And so that you and I would know it's all paid for, Jesus came back to life again. The Father raised him so you and I would know for certain that all of our sins, all of them, have been paid for perfectly. God's gracious, unbelievable forgiveness is a cause for us to live a whole life of joyful thanksgiving. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Why? So we get along with each other? So we make a lot of friends? So we get a lot of likes on Facebook? So people retweet things for us? Why are we kind and compassionate to one another? He tells us, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. It's not that he's going to forgive us. It's a done deal, done in the past, and it has this effect continuing, ongoing. He says again, therefore as God's elect, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgive just as Christ forgave you. So our life as a Christian is based on God's forgiveness, which is a done deal. It happened outside of Jerusalem about the year 30, 33, something like that. On a cross, the center cross, in between two really bad guys, the Romans put the worst guy, and that was Jesus Christ. And the Lord tells us that all of our sins were placed on him, and he died for us. And he came back to life again on the third day, just like he promised. As distant as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our rebellious acts from him. Notice that God doesn't say, oh, they didn't happen. No, they happened. He is the one who defines them as rebellious acts. And he removed them from us. Again, it says in the book of Psalms, if you, Lord, kept a record of guilt, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is pardon. So you are deeply respected. Again, it says, I, the Lord, am the one speaking to you. Come, let's discuss this. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. Well, we still might not get it. So the Lord again says in the book of Isaiah, look, he indeed exchanged my bitterness for wholeness. You yourself have spared my whole being from the pit of destruction because you have cast all my sins behind your back. If they're behind his back, he's not looking at them. He's looking at us, whom he has forgiven. Again, the book of Isaiah says, I swept away your rebellion like a cloud, like a morning mist. It's like a fog. It's gone. God loves us and has forgiven us. We need to hear that again and again. You know why? We are really, really hard to believe good news. We just can't believe it because we look at what we've done and all we see is what we've done and we know it goes against what God says in his word and we just, man, he could not forgive this. It happens all the time in life. I can share one thing with you because my daughter is so used to me here telling this when she's in confirmation class. I told this to, I can't tell you how many people. Because it's a good example of what God does here for us every day. My daughter Katie took our car. She went to a friend's house. Leaving her friend's house, she drove into a tree. So they came back here to the house. She came up, she found where I was, and she's in tears, and she's shaking. She said, Papa, I ruined our car. I ran into a tree. The first thing I said was, are you okay? She said, I ran into a tree. I said, is anybody else hurt? I ran into a tree. Okay, okay. You ran into a tree. Got it. So let's go back. So we went back to the house. Car was still drivable. So we got in the house, we talked to her friend's dad, and everything was fine there. Didn't have to replace the tree. The tree was just like, well, what hit me, you know? So I get back in the car, going to go back home, roll up the windows, and I said, well, time to buckle up. And she just sits there. She says, okay. And she hangs on to the seat. She says, the windows are closed. You can let me have it now. I said, what are you talking about? Well, you got to yell at me. I said, I don't have to yell at you. Well, yeah, I ruined the car. And now they can't hear, so you just let it out, Papa. That's fine. I said, I forgive you. That's it. I forgive you. And it started a wonderful ongoing discussion that we have to this day about how Christians are tasked with repeating God's forgiveness in their day-to-day life. Did she owe us for that? Oh, yeah. Was she able to pay it? Oh, no. Was she scared out of her mind? Oh, yeah. Did she have to report to me? Oh, yeah. And guess what? I forgave her. The bond that we have is close. God forgives us. every day for a lot more stuff than that. When's the last time you misused his name? When's the last time you were going to go and you were going to read his word, but then you said, I got other things to do. I got to add to my blog. I have to read the newspaper. I have to do something, anything else other than read his word. Every time that the Lord gives us an opportunity to encourage another Christian, and we say, well, no, I kind of like them to just kind of stew for a while because, you know, they just did me dirt. Every time those thoughts come, those are all what the Bible calls sin. And every time there's a sin, that's a mark against us. And for one mark against you, you can't get into heaven. I remember I was in seventh grade when my pastor, Pastor Allsweed, blessed man. He was explaining to us about the commandments. And of course, I'm in seventh grade, so I know I pretty much kept them all. Thank you very much. But I'm listening because my mom taught me to be polite to the pastor, so I'm listening. And he tells us about the fourth commandment and honor your father and mother. I said, oh, yeah, I got that. I got that covered. Yeah, thanks. We're ready to go on to the next commandment. And then he says, this commandment, you break this commandment every time you shut the door and you stick your tongue out at your mom and dad behind the door. And I said, oh. And then he said, God sees it all. And I thought, oh. And then because I'm in seventh grade and my mind is lightning fast, I'm thinking, I've broken this one commandment a ton of times. And then I thought, I'm only in seventh grade. I have a whole life ahead of me. And then I thought, oh, that's only one commandment. What about all the other commandments? And it just got huge, this huge mountain of sin in my, how in the world is I going to ever make God happy? And then my pastor said, that's what's really amazing. God, for Jesus' sake, has removed that. And he's forgiven that. He did it on a cross and came back to life again. So you don't stick out your tongue at your mom and dad. Not because it gets you into heaven, but because he already paid for that sin. Why do you want to do that sin again and again and again? God has forgiven you. So you are kind and you honor one another above yourselves. In Christ, the scriptures say in Ephesians, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In 1 John, one of those little letters at the back of your Bible right before Revelation, the one book that nobody wants to read, even though God says read it, nobody here wants to read it. But one of those books right before Revelation is called 1 John. It's a little letter. And in 1 John it says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven because of his name. So let me tell you again, if there's a sin that's troubling you, hear me clearly. God has forgiven you. Jesus died for unspeakable sins. Sins that would just make our hair turn gray and white and then fall off our heads. It's terrible. The sins that he has already paid for, the ones who nailed him to the cross, who jabbed the spear into his side. His disciples who ran away didn't treat him like a friend at all. He died for unspeakable sins and unspeakable sinners just like you and me. We have redemption. Again, in the book of Colossians, the Lord says, even when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving you all your trespasses. All of them. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not count against him. It's not like the Lord says, oh, you're not sinning anymore. No, the Lord knows. But he knows us better than we know ourselves. Even the sins that we don't know we're doing, he has already taken care of. He went to a cross and he paid for them all. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that good news? The Lord says you don't let it go in one ear and out the other. You don't just say, oh, that was so good to hear. I'm so glad I'm scot-free. It doesn't stop there. The Lord says those who have been forgiven show their faith by how they live. So if you're hanging on to a grudge, stop it. Don't hang on to it. If you're constantly losing your temper, control it. As my daughter is telling her son, you're the boss of your emotions. You're the boss of your feelings. The Lord says, honor one another above yourselves. Don't seek honor for yourself. Again and again, the Lord tells us many, many ways in which we can show our thanks to him who so loved us. What's kind of neat is that after this part where Jesus says, let me read it to you again. Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He's not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. It is so easily seen in the life of Christians that this is how Judgment Day is described. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have practiced evil will rise to be condemned. You and I are seen to be Christians. Our faith is an evident thing. It's not what gets us into heaven. It's what reflects the fact that we already have one foot in heaven. And that's really good news. So how do you live? Many, many different places in the scriptures it says, this is one of the places from Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. Those are good words for us to practice this week. For Jesus' sake, who has forgiven us. Amen.